Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Chris Foster. Sunday, February 20th, the NASCAR Cup season starts with the Daytona 500 airing on Fox. And one of those cars, the 77, driven by Landon Castle, is sponsored by the Fox Nation streaming service. And there's a Fox Nation documentary about the team, Spire Motorsports, called Road to Daytona. It's four parts, with three parts streaming now, and the last coming out Thursday, a few days after the big race. The other day, we spoke with Spire crew chief Kevin Bellacourt about Daytona, growing up near that racetrack in Florida, what race day is like, and changes in the sport this season, with NASCARs using new next-gen cars meant to level the playing field a bit. We talked too much to get it all into the regular podcast and wanted to put it all out there now before Daytona. Thanks for listening and subscribing if you've done that. And now, Kevin Bellacourt on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Kevin Bellacourt, thank you very much for coming on the Fox News Rundown. Let's start by talking about these next-gen cars and how you think it's going to change the sport.
I mean, I think there's a lot of different pieces of that puzzle. I think a huge part of it is obviously the fact that now from first to 40th in the Cup field, you have the same product, the same chassis. Everybody has their own manufacturer. There's going to be Chevy manufacturer body panels and Toyota and Ford, and that's going to look different, which is great. It should. But from a competition standpoint for all of us crew chiefs, we all have the same piece to work with now. Whereas before it was just a spending game, right? It was just who had the most people, who had the most support from their manufacturer, who could go spend the most money in the wind tunnel, who could find the most downforce. Now, obviously the best drivers still drive for the best teams most of the time. And you're going to still see Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott and all those guys run good. That's not going to stop them from being good. But I think what it does is it changes the gap from first to 40th. So now you're going to get to see people like Corey LaJoie, where they've been maybe hindered by their equipment up to this point in their career, be able to go show their talent, showcase their ability a little bit better. And it's an opportunity to be working in the same box as those guys. And so whoever can find speed the quickest, whoever can find ways to make the car go fast, make their driver happy, is gonna excel. Obviously, the big teams are still going to be tough. They're going to be good. We're chasing them. They have really smart, obviously, really, really smart people, really, really good drivers. But what NASCAR's done with this car is it gives all of us kind of an equal starting point, so to speak, for right now in 2022. And it's also a good thing for the owners. They can actually look and know what it was kind of a limitless expenditure before, where you would always have something coming and another expenditure coming. And there's some of those things popping up with the next gen car that maybe we didn't know, but ideally the way NASCAR's got it planned out is the owners can have a good idea of what everything's going to cost every year and what it's going to look like. It'll be easier for everybody to budget, easier for everybody to make plans as far as that goes too on the business side.
Yeah. I mean, before, like you said, part of the team was the engineering and designing and manufacturing, and that cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And now it just puts the sport more on the track, right? I mean, this is your car, you race it, it becomes more about the skill of the driver and the pit crew and not what led up to it in the, you know, the weeks and months before that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly right. It gives us all the same, so to speak, sandbox to be playing in. And now it's up to us to go make the most speed out of it and put the best effort on the racetrack. And like I said, that's not going to be easy. There's still the big teams are going to be successful. They got really smart people. They got great people over there that are going to think of stuff and make these cars go fast. And I mean, we're dealing with rules changes this morning. NASCAR made last night at 11:30 because we all found ways to make these race cars go a little faster by themselves for qualifying tonight. And NASCAR wanted to make a change. So that's just going to be ebb and flow of the season, kind of what we got to do. But yeah, it's definitely going to make it, I think, great for the fans to watch. It's going to be exciting. The other great thing about the next gen car is it looks so much like the street cars. I love that. I think it looks really cool on the racetrack. It gives people at home that are watching NASCAR races a little bit more, similarity. If they've got one of these manufacturer cars sitting in their driveway, it looks a lot more similar. So I think that's good too, because I feel like we've gotten away from that a little bit in the last few years in the Cup Series.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It makes it a little more fun for viewers. If you're watching IndyCar, it's a completely different species than what you've got in your driveway. But if you've got a Chevy Camaro, you can kind of put yourself mentally behind the wheel at Daytona. I mean, look, racing is one of those things where maybe especially non-fans might say, well, I can't dunk a basketball, but I know how to drive. What makes cup drivers great? I mean, you don't have to be 7 feet tall. You don't have to be super muscular. I imagine there's more training mentally and physically than there was years ago, right?
Absolutely. There's a few things, obviously. I mean, some guys just have a God-given natural ability to do it. And they're just really, really good at driving vehicles. And I mean, I'm going to use Kyle Larson as an example. Anything that he gets in, he goes fast. That is not by coincidence. He's just extraordinarily talented. Any one of these guys that races on Sunday is very, very, very good. There's nobody that's not a good race car driver in the Cup Series. And attributes that make them good is just a skill set. They have an ability to feel what the car is doing and feel what it needs to do to go fast and be able to control it at a high speed, obviously, put themselves in dangerous situations and things that a lot of people just aren't willing to do. And that's one attribute that makes them really good. And like you said, from the physical standpoint, all these guys have really stepped up on their training, and a lot of them eat healthy and they're working out every day. I mean, it's a very physical thing to be in a race car for 3.5-4 hours on a Sunday afternoon. And I mean, even here at Daytona, where it's not going to be super hot, it'll be a lot, but when we get to June, July, August, the summer months, these guys will sweat out 8, 9, 10, 11 pounds during a race. So it's very physical. It's 130, 140 degrees in the cockpit. So imagine sitting in a sauna with a fire suit and a helmet on, which is three layers thick. So basically a big blanket wrapped around you for 4 hours and basically just getting water to drink during the day and not having anything to eat or anything. It's very physically and mentally demanding. So I think all those, between the talent and then the mental and physical toughness to be able to handle what they have to do on a Sunday afternoon to race 400 or 500 miles, is what makes them good.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
NASCAR drivers aren't, you know, just suddenly NASCAR drivers. What's the entry into it like? I mean, do you have to, is it necessarily now a rich kid's sport? I mean, is there an equivalent of a Little League or a Pop Warner football where kids can be ushered into it?
I hate to use the term rich kid's sport, but I mean, it's a fact of money. Money is necessary to make things go. So, and there's only so many owners that can back so many kids, you know, coming up through the ranks. But yes, there is lower levels. You can go down. I mean, we can go all the way down to starting when they're young. I mean, you got 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids in go-karts at small racetracks all over the country learning. But once you get into the bigger divisions, the ARCA series is kind of really the first series where you get started, and you'll see 16, 17-year-old kids in that series. And those are full bodied stock cars. And then they'll work from there as they progress into the truck series, which I think a lot more people are common probably with the truck series. That's kind of our third level series. And that's a great series. It's about 250-mile races, usually about a 2-hour race, all pickup trucks, really, really cool, great racing, and a great place for kids to learn. They run on a lot of the tracks that the Cup Series runs, Mile and a Half, Daytona, Talladega. So that's where they can really get their feet wet at the speed and the size of the track and racing that's going to be like on Saturdays and Sundays. And then the next level below Cup is what we call the Xfinity Series, which is also a series very similar to Cup. It's full-bodied cars that run the same manufacturers as the Cup Series. It's just shorter races, a little bit different horsepower, a little bit different body package, but a good place for kids to make the step from the Truck Series up. That would be what we would equate to minor league baseball. Once they're in the Xfinity Series, generally they're linked up with a bigger team at this point, and they're learning to try to get themselves adapted and ready for Sunday when a seat opens up, because there's only 40 spots on Sunday, obviously.
Right. Are most guys involved in the sport at your level? I assume you drove growing up. You grew up in Daytona. The 500 is a big part of your childhood. Did your mom snuck you in a few times, right?
Yes. I told that story off the cuff, and mom's actually driving down here right now. She comes down for the 500. She lives in North Carolina now, but she comes down for the 500 every year. So yeah, my mom did sneak me into the racetrack when we were young. It's just one of the things. It's just a funny story, and I remember it. She had a Chevy Cavalier. And the ticket price to get in the tunnel was like three times what it was to pay for the ticket just to get into the pit area when you got inside. So she'd put me in the back of the Cavalier, and as soon as we get through the tunnel, I'd pull the little latch out of the trunk and drop the back seat and come in. And my mom's like the most honest, nice person in the world too. So I feel like I'm painting this horrible picture, but it's kind of a funny story, and we laugh about it. She was mad at me when she found out I told people about it. But yeah, the Daytona 500 is huge to me. I grew up literally, if you drive out the tunnel and turn four and drive straight down that road 5 miles, you'd run right into my neighborhood. And I was here anytime there was a race car on a racetrack, I was here, be it the Rolex 24 or any of the NASCAR events or anything. So came over here a lot with my dad too, growing up, and my mom was big loved coming over here. And I got to spend a lot of time in the infield watching these races, and it's just all I ever wanted to do. So every time I come back to Daytona, it's special. I've had some special moments here too. I've run good in the truck series as a crew chief and had a couple good runs in the Xfinity series, but to come back here for the Daytona 500, this is my second one, and it's so special. It's our Super Bowl. So yeah. For that to be in my hometown and just having all the memories every time I pull back in here, it's really special.
Well, it's funny that you call it the Super Bowl. The Daytona 500 is a little weird in that it's the marquee event, but it's the start of the season. You know, most sports have their marquee event at the end. I mean, maybe not horse racing if you consider the Kentucky Derby their marquee event. But it is a little bit odd that, I guess it's also a great celebration of the sport. Like, hey, we're kicking off with the biggest race of the year.
The best way I explain it to people, it's different. Like everything else, the buildup is to the end of the year, right? The champion and all that stuff, which we have that too in Phoenix. So the cool thing about the Daytona 500 is, like you said, it's our marquee event, but basically the other 37 races of the year, we basically spend 3 or 4 or 5 days preparing for those races. For the Daytona 500, we spend 3 months preparing for the Daytona 500. Like we've been working on, we go to California the week after the 500 and Las Vegas and Phoenix, and those are our next three races. So obviously we're working on that stuff. And we got to be ahead of the game and ready to go to those racetracks. But since basically for sure after Christmas, when we came back in January, 85 to 90% of the focus of every one of these race teams is on this race. Everybody comes here with the thought that they can win the race. Everybody comes here with 0 points. Everybody comes here thinking that they can win the biggest race of the year, and they can. It's feasible, especially with this new car. So I think that's what makes it special, and not everybody necessarily sees from the outside is that our season is very long. It runs from February to November. There's a lot of races, and it's they're all exciting. They're great races, and we have a huge buildup to the playoffs at the end of the year, and there's eliminations during the playoffs, and we have a great season finale at Phoenix. I thought that was an awesome event last year. It was great to have all the fans back there, and that's a great market to have it. But for this, the special, another thing that makes Daytona so special is that we spend so much time preparing just for one race. And you'll watch it on Sunday as a guy wrecks or falls out, or a guy has something happen, or somebody finishes second, loses the lead on the last lap. Like, it's heartbreaking. It's just looks like the guys that lost the Super Bowl last Sunday, right? We've prepared 2 months for this one race and put all our eggs in this basket trying to come win. And so that's, I think, another thing that makes it really special.
If you want to call, let's say the driver is the quarterback, let's say the crew chief is the head coach, is that close? And what's your day like? What are those 3-4 hours like for you on race day? I assume you're just constantly on.
Yeah, it's that is kind of how I try to do the analogy is head coach being the crew chief, driver, quarterback, and obviously we've got a whole team around us. I got a road crew, all my mechanics that come and work on the race car all week. And then we got our pit crew, our athlete guys that come in and do the pit stops that you guys all see on Sunday and then Thursday this week for the duels. But for me on a Sunday, once we get, you know, close to race time, I'm basically out on pit road. And yeah, during the race, I have an engineer that's always up on top of the pit box with me. And we have a lot of information that's streaming to us basically constantly. We have SMT data, which is a system that's put in the race car where we can literally see the live driver input. We can see his throttle input, his brake input, his steering, where he's at on the racetrack, who he's around on the racetrack, his speed, RPM. So we're always watching that, and we can compare him, like our car, to any other car on the racetrack. So we can overlay that. So we can be in a long run at one of these places and running 50, 60 laps and see somebody that all of a sudden picks up a tenth of a second every lap. We can pull over his SMT data to ours and overlay it and maybe relay that information to the driver. To give him some information, maybe to see if we can find something he needs to move around on the racetrack or change what he's doing with his, you know, feet, with his throttle and brakes or steering. So that's one thing we use a lot of. And then we have all kinds of plans and game plans, so to speak, during the race, when we need to pit, when we're going to be out of fuel, when we're going to be out of tires, what our strategy needs to be. So, and that's kind of a constant moving target based off of when a caution falls, what happens, you know, that's, we got to be ready to adjust to that accordingly. So I always try to have like 2 or 3 plans for each race. And then depending on when a caution falls or what happens and how the race is unfolding, we're kind of ready to audible, so to speak, to a different one. And then you always got to be ready for there to be a problem too. Like if you get a flat tire or just have something weird happen or you have to come down pit road, you got to be ready to adjust to that too. And and kind of reset and see what you've got to do to get back to where you need to be. So there's a lot of things happening during the race. They go by quick. I mean, they're 4 hours long, and I swear every time we run them, it feels like an hour, hour and a half, just because there's so much stuff going on. But it's a lot of fun, and it's definitely busy for sure.
Is it more of a team sport now with all the technology and whatever else? Like if you took AJ Foyt and put him in the series today, how is it a different game than it used to be?
In the aspect, I mean, it's definitely a team sport. Obviously, I tell people anytime I get the opportunity to, I'm fortunate to be going to the racetrack with the guys that I go with, because you don't have any success without good people around you. And I always try to tell myself that. And I've got great people around me at Spire Motorsports, and I'm blessed. So it's a huge team sport. I think the team camaraderie is huge. That's always a big thing to me. I think that everybody that's happy and enjoys going to work has a good time, and that breeds success. But as far as like plugging in like an AJ Foyt, so to speak, I think the biggest thing is the competition is so stiff now. I mean, from first to 40th in a cup field can be separated by 0.4 seconds. And that is nothing. I mean, if you overlay that on that SMT I was just talking about, you're talking that can be a car length and that's it. And I mean, obviously what AJ Foyt accomplished, and Mario Andretti and all those guys, is unbelievable. Their competition was tough too. And they did things that their speed was so much higher, and they were in different, it's just a different racing era. But the way I would say to correlate that is the talent is so deep in the cup field. There's not 10 or 11 or 12 guys that are really good. There's 40 guys that are really, really good. And so it's up to us as the teams to try to go to execute the best race, put the best race car on the racetrack, and try to showcase that talent. So I think it's maybe misunderstood a little bit how hard it is to run 20th in the Cup Series. It's extremely hard to win. I mean, that's the pinnacle. That's what you want to do. But even just running 15th or 20th is difficult. You have to execute a great day. You have to do things right, because everybody else is 9 times out of 10 doing the right thing too, and has good fast race cars and has a great race car driver. So it's just such a close field. The littlest mistake could be magnified every Sunday for sure.
Kevin Bellecourt, crew chief of the 77 Fox Nation sponsored car this year, Lenny Castle behind the wheel, Corey LaJoy, the other member of the team, running for Spire this on Sunday. Good luck. Have a good time too.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the race. It'll be fun. The car looks awesome. So we're looking forward to getting rolling Sunday.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Did you hear the news? Now you can, with instant updates from Fox News for Amazon Alexa. Just say,
"Alexa, play news from Fox."
In Fox News.
It's the latest, when you need it, on demand, from Fox News and Amazon Alexa. The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.